Pastoral leadership is a key ingredient to the success of a church. That's our key sentence for today's SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, how many Christians do you think have been a part of a church where there's been a split in the congregation?
I don't know how many, but I think probably more than we realize. I know you have been, and I know I have been. I'm thinking of two quite different pastors in church split situations, not where you are, but from my own background. One of them didn't turn out well, and the church kind of shriveled and eventually died. The other one, it went through a very difficult split, and now a new pastor has come, and that church is flourishing. I mean, it is just going gangbusters. So what was the difference? I don't know, but leadership was a big part of what was going on. So when you look back on church splits, I would say that in both cases, there was a leader who in some way was flawed, who was a part of what happened. And then there was a new leader in one of the situations, and he somehow brought out of the ashes of that thing a wonderful new life, and now he's built the congregation up, and they actually have several branch churches now. They are splitting off, and not only the congregation, but splitting off parts of the congregation with parts of the pastoral staff. And everyone seems to be excited about it. So it's very interesting trying to figure it all out, isn't it?
It is. Leadership is somewhat evasive. Can we talk more about that?
Well, I would say call my friend Bill Hybels, and he knows leadership much better than I do. I think leadership, if I boil it down to the most simple thoughts in my own mind, is it's the ability of someone to say, we're going to do this, and then have people follow. And if you say, we're going to do this, and nobody follows, you're not the leader, because nobody's following. You can't have leaders unless you have followers. So if the leader says, jump, and the people jump, that's a good thing. Now, it doesn't mean that has to be done in a dictatorial fashion. It may mean that in a very fatherly fashion, you say, I'm going to show you how to jump, and this is how high some people can jump. You'd be amazed. Some people can jump even higher than that. But I'm going to teach you, and we're going to learn. And when I say jump, we're going to jump. You know, and then at a given point, jump, and everyone jumps because they're following the leader. A person who doesn't do all that background and figure out what has to happen can say jump and nobody jumps. And he may be called the leader, or she may be called the leader, but they're not a leader because they don't have any followers. So leadership depends on whether or not you're able to rally those people who are unders, not, well, under, yeah, in a hierarchical thing. They're following you is a better way I want to put it. If you don't have people following you, then something's wrong. And you have to figure out what's going wrong and change it, or otherwise you have to just be in a position where you say, I don't think I fit here.
There's an interesting approach to leadership that I found not only effective in my own life, but very necessary in my work for many years in the insurance industry. I led a large group of individuals tasked with a very specific task, and we accomplished a great deal during my time. Step one was to make sure that the people were qualified that you had working with you. In the church, the pastor must assume that the scripture is fulfilled and that in his congregation he has all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that he needs or she needs as a pastor to effectively work out the purpose of the church, which is to reach people for Christ and to make disciples. So assuming that God has provided you with people with spiritual gifts, then your job as a leader is to nurture those gifts and help the people who have those gifts, first of all, understand that they have them, and then secondly, apply them to whatever situation exists. We call it consultative leadership, where instead of being a dictator or even a pusher, the leader becomes someone who helps facilitate the people with whom he or she is working accomplish the tasks at hand. I give you an example of that. I'm a very arrogant, in some way pompous person. I think I know everything about everything. And I've learned very quickly that that wasn't going to work as a leader because, as you say, if people aren't inspired by you, they're not going to follow you. So I changed my role rather dramatically, and I became the facilitator of of the groups of people that were trying to solve problems. I found out what their skill sets were, and I helped them develop their individual skill sets. But then when we would approach a particular issue, I became a moderator of a discussion as to where we must go from here. How do we accomplish the task before us? First of all, what tasks do we need to accomplish? Now, in the corporate setting, some of those tasks were handed down from above, just like in the church. Some of the tasks the church has to accomplish are handed down from God himself. But how do we go about this in a consultative way? Norman Shavchuk, who is a famous, now in glory, church consultant, once wrote that people tend to support what they help create.
That's
and
really
I
good.
Found
That's
that
really
true
good.
In mm-hmm. the business situation, and I know it will work in the church, where you become a consultant. Yes, you are the pastor. Yes, you are called by God to a leadership position. But it's better if you use the gifts God has given you as a pastor to develop the people in your congregation. The truth is, the more you do that, the more they will buy in to the mission of your church, and the more solidly they will invest themselves in the work for the sake of Jesus.
And that's exactly the difference between the two ministers, as you say those things, that I'm thinking about. The one person did not do what you're saying. He wasn't drawing the people in to find out how they fit and to incorporate them. He was basically doing what he wanted. It just didn't work. Whereas the other person was a master at exactly what you're saying.
A fatal mistake. Many new pastors coming in, and by new, I don't necessarily mean in age, but a new pastor coming into a church with the attitude, I'm the expert. I will determine what's wrong with you, and I will tell you how to fix it. That doesn't work. That's eventually going to fail, or at the very least, become extraordinarily ineffective. It's far better to say, I'm here to help you discover what God wants you to do in this church and the way that this church is to impact the world for Christ. We're in this together. I'm not the driving force. I'm not the decision maker. I'm a facilitator. I'm here to help you learn how to do what you need to do by me drawing out from you the gifts God's already given you to equip you for his ministry.
Now, can this be taught, do you think, Dean?
Oh, I think it can be taught. In fact,
I would agree with you.
That's what turned me around. I recognized that I was failing, and I reached out and tried to get some help. Because of the kind of person I am, I did it by reading, but I could just as easily have had someone teach me. In fact, that's what Norman Shavchuk, for example, dedicated himself to his entire career. And he's written many, many books. If a pastor is looking for key books on church leadership, Norm Shavchuk's books are extremely helpful in this whole idea of consultative leadership.
Now, there are some people who will never be able to do that. Some people are not equipped to do that. So they couldn't be a leader even if they wanted to be. But of those people who are called to leadership, that's a style that is effective and will work. Yeah, I would say get those books. That would be helpful.
In fact, if one of the pastors listening to us is struggling in this area of developing the spiritual formation of his or her congregation, one of the things he or she has to consider is maybe the pastoral ministry is not the place where they belong.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked before, and I've mentioned this particular gentleman that I know reasonably well, who was a pastor for many years, but never very successful and basically very disappointed in himself until he realized that the things in the pastorate that were driving him crazy were the things that required him to be a leader. He switched and became a hospital chaplain, and he has become the most effective minister mm-hmm. in that hospital setting mm-hmm. because God had equipped him for ministry. It just wasn't the pastoral mm-hmm. ministry.
Was Jesus a leader like you're talking?
Jesus was a leader in so many ways because he was God. He had resources that we can't even comprehend that he had. He literally knew the hearts of the people he was working with all the time. Even from the moment he called Judas Iscariot to be a disciple, he knew Judas was going to
yes.
ultimately betray him. And mm-hmm. yet he poured himself into Judas the same way that he poured himself himself into his other disciples. So Jesus certainly has characteristics and qualities that we can't even comprehend, but he did plant seeds with his disciples. There were times when he gave them marching orders, but there were a lot of times when he basically was saying, consider this, consider this. A lot of the parables are really based on consider this and telling the story, and then at the end, wrapping it up by bringing the kernel of truth for that story to the fore. In that way, Jesus was a consultative leader. He also was grooming his disciples and those who followed him to carry on when he wasn't going to be present. In a way, the ultimate goal should be to create a church where he, the pastor, or she, the pastor, is no longer necessary, even though he or she may have a long and fruitful ministry in that place. If you create that with a goal in your mind, I'm going to create such a climate, such an environment in this church where the people become the energized, effective ministers for the gospel, I'm no longer necessary, then actually, of course, you'll always be necessary because there'll always be new people to pour yourself into and so forth. But I don't think very many pastors think in those terms.
It's really well put. It can be taught. It's a key ingredient to the success of a church. And do you think somebody listening to us can even evaluate where he or she is as a leader and profit by our discussion?
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so. Mm-hmm.
Pastoral leadership is a key ingredient to the success of the church. We're very glad you joined us for this SermonCoach.com podcast. You found it on our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons, life-transforming services, and life-transforming churches. And we invite you to use those resources in your own ministry. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.